Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Streaming online at ESPNRochester.com. Breaking news, scores, and on-demand audio. Bookmark the sports leader, ESPNRochester.com.
Bills, Jets. Sunday, week one, the NFL 2020 season kicks off from Bills Stadium. Let's talk Buffalo Bills with one of our favorites, one of our regulars here in the sports bar, Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, NewYorkUpstate.com. Matt covering the team on multi-platforms now. Matt, I mean, Gene, I know, had to mention it as well. We're seeing you on TV. You got the YouTube channel. We got so many ways. We'll get to all of the ways that we can consume the content. First and foremost, how are you, buddy?
I am great. I am ready to sit in a football NFL football stadium, watch an NFL football game on Sunday. 2 days. I can't believe we're here.
Yeah. What do you think that is going to be like? Have you allowed to kind of look ahead? You're like, this is an experience unlike any other you're going to have on Sunday.
Yeah. Like, it was cool last night watching the Chiefs and seeing like there was at least like that splash of fans where it felt like a little bit of normal still. We were in the stadium today for practice. For a few minutes, and we saw the tarps around, like the bottom few sections. It's definitely going to be weird. We were in the stadium a couple weeks ago for one of the scrimmages where they had pumped in crowd noise. So I think that part of it will be interesting. But in the press box, like we look out to the left there, and there's kind of like a hanging ledge, Gene.
Yeah.
And you could see them. You're in the middle of the madness. So it's going to be strange not having that. And it's always funny. We're in the second row there. I sit next to Marcel, and we always have a bunch of fans that are looking in, like trying to wave and trying to like get people's attention. Not having that atmosphere there is going to be weird.
Matt Perino, the Syracuse Post-Standard, joining us here. Let's go over this injury report, Matt, and it's fairly clean, with the one exception being Josh Norman. Not a surprise. Looks like he's out for Sunday.
Yeah, and it's interesting because he came back from the injury report where he missed practice for like a little over a week. It looked like he was limited for a few days there, and one day he was really moving around pretty well. I can't remember now if it was Sunday or Monday. I have to go back and check my notes, but he was moving around pretty well. So for him to be out now, I'm wondering if he either re-injured the same hamstring. We saw Denzel Mims for the Jets. He came back, started practicing, and injured his other hamstring. This is a real issue. And the guy that's going to likely start on Sunday, Levi Wallace, he was full in practice today. He has been dealing with a nagging little hamstring issue as well. So we're seeing it. It was expected with the short ramp-up period here. We're seeing the soft tissue injuries. And, you really hope and keep your fingers crossed. Bills are going up against a Jets team that I think they're expected to, be pretty dominant against this Sunday. You hope that you don't lose anybody else to an injury like this.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering what is behind Levi Wallace. And we talk about Latulele opting out. I think we kind of overlooked that. Boy, it would be nice to have E.J. Gaines back there right now as an insurance policy, but we kind of forget he opted out as well. So how thin are they right now at the corner position?
They're thin, I guess, but like you got to remember two things. Number one, they have significant faith in Saran Neal, that if they have to put him on the boundary, he can fill in a crunch, in a bind. He did it last year. They like what they saw from him in training camp. He's playing really well. And I'm still banging the Cam Lewis drum. I thought he should have made this 53-man roster. And I think the fact that they protected him on the practice squad tells you that he's in their plans in case they're missing one of these guys. So he's a guy that can get brought up. I thought he was outplaying EJ Gaines last year during training camp, although Gaines was playing pretty well as well, but they both got hurt and they both weren't a part of 2019. So I think that at the end of the day, they have confidence in the guys, you know, at depth spots, like even Taron Johnson, who they could throw out there in a pinch and have Dean Marlowe perhaps play in that big nickel role. So, you know, they have a lot of options, and they never seem overly concerned about it. I mean, last year, I thought as the numbers were dwindling and they kept going with just the three outside corners every week, I'm like, man, you're going to need to kind of bring up Cam Lewis at some point. And Sean McDermott always answer that question with, you know, we're good. So they should be good.
Matt, I wanted to go back to earlier in the week when the official depth chart was released. We kind of had a chuckle seeing Cody Ford's name plastered across the right side of the offensive line. Do you have any idea of you know, where Ford might line up? I don't know that you're even able
He's
to tell us.
He's not allowed to say that.
Okay, all right. So maybe explain, instead of telling us what you've seen with your own eyes, and we don't want to get you in trouble, but maybe explain the thought process behind putting Cody Ford as your starter on the depth chart at both right guard and right tackle.
Well, it's pretty fitting that I'm on Danger Show today, because you're putting me right in the middle of the danger zone here, Mike. I'm not allowed to say any of this stuff. And no, I think the thing that's interesting with Cody is the thing that I can say is that early indications are that he is playing really well. He had himself a really good training camp. And so I think wherever he lines up, I think you're hoping and expecting that if it's at right guard, whatever they saw during training camp, if he was there or if he wasn't there, they must be confident in that, because they brought in other options. I mean, they have a guy in Brian Winters that you can put at right guard. That's his position. You have two guys in Ty Inseki and Darrell Williams who have played significantly well at right tackle at different times in their career. So you have plenty of options. So wherever Cody Ford lines up, I think that what I think is even more interesting is, as we progress here the next couple of weeks, say Cody Ford does end up at right guard and they do Darrell Williams at right tackle or Ty Inseki or some combination of the two. Let's just say, because that's how they're listing. I'm not giving anything away. That's just how they're listing things on their depth chart. What happens in 3 or 4 weeks when John Feliciano comes back and is ready? Does he get added back into the mix if Cody Ford's at right guard? Do you swing him back out to right tackle after he just played 3 straight weeks there? Are you going to do a rotation at right tackle again, which Sean McDermott said he didn't really want to do? There's still so many question marks. A lot of it will be answered this week, but there's still looming questions no matter what they kind of decide in week one.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest. We did, you know, hear a lot about the fourth-round pick, Gabe Davis. You earned a spot. We certainly are high on the third-round pick, Zach Moss. My question is about the second-round pick, the Bills' top pick from the draft. A.J. Epenesa, what kind of camp did he have? And, gosh, will he see any meaningful snaps on the field at all this week? What's your opinion on A.J. Epenesa heading into week one?
You know, I thought at times, early in camp, I was really impressed with just how comfortable he looked. As camp progressed, I thought that there were some one-on-one matchups, particularly with Ryan Bates, where I thought that he struggled and looked like a rookie. And I think that that's to be expected. Leslie Frazier spoke highly of him on his press conference this week, and you know, just how he was talking to another coach the other day just about how impressed he was with just the comfort level that he's had. Now, with the numbers on the D-line and Trent Murphy back in the mix, it wouldn't surprise me if he was inactive week one. Not saying that he did anything to warrant that. I'm just saying it's a numbers game, and you know, they got Darryl Johnson in that kind of rotational spot there. They have Mario Addison. They have Quentin Jefferson, who could play on rush from the edge at times too. I'm just not sure where they're going to get him on the field. And if you have some issues at cornerback, if you got to bring up a Cam Lewis off the practice squad, that could be an interesting kind of dynamic. Where do they kind of sit guys down? But in terms of Gabriel Davis, you know, he's another interesting case. Like, what are they going to do with him on game days? If you're activating Isaiah McKenzie, most games last year they had the six receivers on the roster, but only activated five. Who's going to be the odd man out? Because I'm guessing they brought Isaiah to the 53-man roster because they plan to still use him in that kind of that role, that jet sweep role that they used him in last year. So it's going to be, I'm very interested for 11:20 on or 11:30, whatever time it is on Sunday, Which I'll be just getting off of TV, so forgive me if it's kind of a little bit delayed.
A little humble brag there, Matt Perino from the Syracuse Post.
He does have good hair for TV.
He's got the look. He's ready to be on TV, of course. All right, Matt, let's go back to the defensive line for a little bit. Gene and I spent some time this week talking about what we feel might be a weakness in the Bills' defense, and that's the pass rush. And the idea that, you know, do you see somebody that has double-digit sack potential? And does double-digit sacks out of a singular player really matter if you have the kind of rotation that the Bills do on the defensive line when you're just getting constant pressure on the quarterback and accumulating sacks as individuals, you know, for a greater team total at the end of the season?
I think you're onto something there. I'm not sure it's you know, super problematic if you don't have somebody that is finishing with double digit sacks, but I just think that the additions that have been made and not only the different rotations, but the different combinations you can have on the field at any given time. Like, you know, again, this is tough because I can't really tell you what I've seen and where guys have lined up, but I really think Ed Oliver is going to be a big winner in terms of the talent that they've added as pass rushers. And recently we were talking to Harrison Phillips, I believe. And he said, it's crazy. Like everybody on this line, whoever ends up in there, can rush the passer. And, you know, I think Shaq Lawson, he was really good last year, but he's not like a natural pass rusher, where I think everybody on this line, when they pin their ears back a little bit, can get after it. I think he'd probably rank Trent Murphy as maybe the least impactful. And I think Jerry Hughes, I think there's something to be said if the Bills ever put Addison and Jerry Hughes on the field at the same time. Now, they're both listed at that right defensive end spot, and Hughes played predominantly there last year, same with Mario in Carolina. When they're on the field together, I think that that's the best, you know, running mate on the outside that Hughes has had since Mario Williams. So I think that they're just going to be impactful from the inside out. I think what they can do with a couple guys that have the ability to flip inside, I think you're going to be surprised with some of the combinations you've seen, because some of the things that I've seen over the course of training camp suggest that they're going to rotate a lot. You're going to be surprised at who you see at different spots when the game starts, I think.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post Standard, our guest, who you can also see, I think locally it's Channel 8. I mean, if you want to catch him on leading up to the game. Matt, as far as the passing attack, and I look at this matchup against the Jets, and boy, do you see this as an area that maybe the Buffalo Bills can exploit? Or, on the other hand, it's week one, don't have any expectations. But, Matt, I just want to see Josh Allen take some shots with his new receiver Diggs and everybody else here, because I'm not really all that impressed with the Jets secondary.
No doubt about it. I mean, listen, this cornerback group, this safety group that, you know, has been left behind in the wake of the Jamal Adams trade, it might be in the conversation for the worst or bottom five in the league at best. I mean, this is not a unit. You know, Pierre Desir, he's a good player. He comes over from Indianapolis. He had a really nice season last year. But if he's forced to just cover Stephon Diggs all day and worry about him, depending on, you know, how they choose to attack this Bills offense, it's going to open so many things up for, you know, I could see a big day for Dawson Knox. I was listening to Rich Cimini. He covers the Jets for ESPN. And he said, while this linebacker group is good, it has some nice young players, their strength is not in coverage. And that's what's going to be an area of concern this weekend. If Josh Allen can attack at that second level, that intermediate area where he ranked ninth last year with 64% completion percentage, man, get Stephon Diggs the ball quickly, you know, run some slants, run some hooks, get the ball in his hands really quick. Let him do that damage early on. He's so physical. I think he's going to just be, he said it this week. He said all he's been thinking about since the trade is football, 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 football. He is chomping at the bit to get out there. And he spent the summer, the last month of the summer, battling daily with Tre'Davious White. I mean, this guy's busting at the seams to get out there and start making plays. So get the ball in his hands quickly. Let him attack this defense. And I think they're going to struggle. Like, I know it's a Greg Williams defense, but I don't necessarily think they have the pass rushers to do the kinds of things that, you know, we've seen in the past where Josh Allen struggles with. I mean, you look at that Baltimore D last year. You know, they had some like premier pass rushers that can really impact the defense. And they got some guys here. I mean, I think Quinn Williams is good and Henry Anderson, and they got it, but it's nothing at the level of some of the really aggressive, you know, go back to the Houston game, JJ Watt, and Whitney Mercilus. I mean, we're not talking about that level of pass rusher. So I think, you know, but at the same time, when expectations are high, you better deliver. And, you know, I could see at the same time, if the Bills don't come out and score 30, which we'll talk about my prediction in a second, I think there could be some disappointment there.
Matt, what about the New York Jets should the Buffalo Bills be nervous about?
You know, I still think Sam Darnold, you know, with a full camp, he's healthy. He's got some new weapons. Second year in the offense with Gase, I think he'll be more familiar, more comfortable. I think that's one of the things, too, that, you know, Jets writers have been talking about is Darnold just seems more at ease in the system. And it's a complicated system there as well that Gase tries to run. But Le'Veon Bell, another year in the system, he'll be more comfortable. I think the question mark is, as comfortable as those two in the backfield may be, can they block and protect them? Can they block for Bell in the run game? Can they protect Sam Darnold? I question those things. Denzel Mims looks like he's probably not going to play. I got to get an official look at that before I post my injury report lineup or story. Rashad Perriman, is he able to be the one-man show and go against one of the best secondaries in the league? I think that's questionable. So I don't think there's a lot to fear. I think this is going to be a big day for that defense. One of the things that Josh Norman said is he was going to bring another level of turnover ability, turnover making ability to this defense, and he's not going to be there. So guys like Le'Veon Wallace and other guys in that secondary have to step up and turn the ball over in this game.
Man, I'm picturing a world where Danger and I come on the air Monday after, say, a 17-6 Bills win, just throwing that out there, and people are like, yeah, it was a win, but are we maturing as a fan base where it's important that it's not just enough to win, but you need the offense to prepare at a certain point? I mean, is a win just good enough, in your opinion, in week one or against this opponent? Does it need to be a win where you drop the hammer on this team?
What did Herm Edwards say, Gene? You play to win the game. And if they win the game 17-6, I'm pretty sure Sean McDermott's coming out on Sunday and Monday and saying, hey, all we care about is winning one week at a time, one game at a time. But if you're this fan base, and even if you're in that locker room, this is a game at home, even without fans, you have to come out and set the tone for the season. And all off season long, you traded 4 draft picks, including last year's first. You brought in Stephon Diggs. All we've heard all off season long was about how scoring needs to improve. And so if you come out here and you score 17 points, on the heels of finishing 26th in the league and scoring per game less than 20 points a game, it's just not going to cut it. And, you know, it's early. Don't get me wrong. It's early. But we saw last night even a Houston offense that, you know, definitely looked like it was, you know, stammering along a little bit at points, and especially early in that game, saw what Kansas City came out here and did. And if the Bills are truly an AFC contender, you know, you want to see this offense come out, set the tone, make some big plays down the field. Maybe Josh Allen hit a long one. Maybe Josh Allen throw for 300 yards. You know, something crazy. And we'll see where we sit on Monday morning. But I think there will be some unrest if this isn't what everybody's been, you know, dreaming up over these last.
Yeah, I mean, if you just watched the game last night, I mean, Kansas City set a high bar. Like that, okay, you want to be a contender? That's who you're going to have to beat if you want to get to the Super Bowl somewhere along the line. Matt, all right, let's get your prediction for Sunday. What are you thinking?
So I'm going to go Buffalo 31, New York 14. Big win in the opener. I do think that this passing attack is going to really just overwhelm the Jets. And, you know, I also think this offensive line, I really got a sense of confidence from Mitch Morse on Monday when he spoke to the media about, you know, his rapport with Josh in year two, just the overall comfort level with guys to the left and the right. And, you know, when he has been next to Cody Ford in training camp, he said that, you know, he has noticed, you know, it's been noticeable improvement. Not only that, he also mentioned that Cody Ford, he thinks, got a bad rap last year. He thinks he was a lot better than I think a lot of people gave him credit for. So if that's the case, if he's making a step, you know, in this offseason, this offensive line should be pretty good. I really don't see how the Bills don't win this game and cover the spread.
Wow. Matt, what are you and Ryan working on at the Syracuse Post-Standard? Tell us about the new TV spot there coming up on Sunday and everywhere else you can consume. And you got the podcast, too, going on.
Oh, yeah, man. We're all over. We'll be on later tonight, so definitely follow me on Twitter. We stream on there, at Matt Perino. Somewhere between 6 and 7:30, we'll have our official Jets preview show. obviously, your CBS affiliate in Rochester will carry the pregame show, so definitely check that out. Be on there with Thad Brown, Josh Reed, and company. And I'll have all the, you know, a bunch of stories over the next couple of days, especially on Sunday. But also look out next week. I'm going to have a feature story on surprise edition, Delshawn Phillips. I dug a little bit on him, and I'll have a cool little feature on him next week.
Matt Perino, NewYorkUpstate.com, Syracuse Post-Standard. Always good with his time. One of our regulars here to talk Buffalo Bills in the sports bar. Matt, have a great weekend. Enjoy game day.
You too, guys. Take care.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest here in the sports bar, as he's picking the Bills by 17. I think people would be satisfied with that. 31-14 win. It's kind of like how game was going last night. It was, what, 31-7 before the Texans got some cheap points at the end?
Yeah. Chris tweeting us at ESPN Rochester. He's so right. So dumb. Is the hush-hush about positions and rotations over after week one, or is this gag order all season?
Isn't that dumb?
It's so dumb.
And if you're wondering, why doesn't he just tell you that? Well, then Matt's got a job to do. The Bills have the power to basically ban you from the stadium.
Take away his credentials, yeah.
Yeah.
Which would suck. We would hate that for him. But, and I didn't mean to put him in an awkward position there. I don't think I did. But, I want to know the rationale behind listing forward the way they did in the depth chart. That's all.
I think, and some people be like, who cares? We'll find out. I think, yeah, you know what? But he brings up the point, and that was the point. Like, sometimes it's as obvious. Okay, if they're going to put him at guard, well, you got Feliciano coming back at some point. So do you really want him to master the guard only to bump him at some point? He should be your tackle. I've been saying that all along.
And, Chris, you know what? We'll see with our own eyes on Sunday. And I think once you see it with your own eyes, you kind of have a sense of, like, all right, that's where these guys are playing. That's the depth chart. That's the position he'll be at, and that will be that. If you came in late for Matt Perino, or if you missed Mark Schofield from last hour, Radio.com Rewind, a great feature inside of the app, lets you go back and listen to any part of the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia that you may have missed for the next 24 hours. Next, we go around the NFL, news and notes from around the league, NFL appetizers in the sports bar.
Yeah, what a game last night we had here. We've got also stories. We'll give you that Jets injury update. What are the Patriots doing giving one of their players more money before now? What is the rationale behind that? And for the Broncos, we'll give you their injury update as they've had a rough week.
Quick break. Apps next in the sports bar. ESPN Rochester.
ESPN Rochester knows there's more to life than sports. Kidding. College basketball and football.
Put it away for these LSU Tigers.
The NBA.
Down to Davis. Feeds LeBron and traffic glides to the rim for two.
Major League Baseball.
And this one will find the Crawford boxes for a home run. And all of a sudden, it's a one-run game.
Your proud home of the Buffalo Bills.
Allen in the gun. Steps away from pressure again. Fires it now on the run. Caught by Beasley at the 10. Headed in the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Buffalo Sabres. Rochester American.
Although he's there to jam it in, and his third goal of the night as the Amherst take a 3-2 lead.
More to life than sports? Not here. Rochester's most listened to sports station. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.